You're listening to Let's Talk Macro.
Hello, welcome to the second episode of our podcast on macroeconomics, Let's Talk Macro. This is Srijit Balasubramanian, economist in the fixed income fund management team. Now, November was a very interesting month in terms of data and events, and importantly, how it fit into the macroeconomic narrative, which continues to be dominated by rate hikes by central banks across the world to tame inflation, and also expectations of a growth slowdown. So in this episode, we'll summarize significant macro during the last month across key geographies, so mainly US, but also across Europe and China, and of course India. We'll then see the big picture all this implies. To begin with, we had the US Federal Open Market Committee, that is the FOMC meeting early November. It raised the policy rate by 75 basis points for the fourth time, and a total of 375 basis points so far in 2022. Now, there's an interesting addition in the policy statement this time, which said, in determining the pace of future increases in the target range, the committee will take into account cumulative tightening of monetary policy, the lags with which monetary policy affects economic activity and inflation, and economic and financial developments. In short, in the context of aggressive policy rate hikes by the Fed, further increases in the pipeline, and expected peak policy rates having moved up previously, this part of the statement was perceived a bit dovishly, as it actually suggested that the Fed might now assess the effect of all its policy actions taken so far. However, this interpretation didn't actually last long, as the Fed governor, in his press conference a few minutes later, said the peak policy rate in the cycle could in fact be higher than previously expected, that there is still some ways to go, and that it's very premature to actually think of a pause at the moment. This was a bit hawkish, but at least offset the initial dovish interpretation of the statement. However, there's another twist. US CPI inflation data for October, released later in the month, was below expectation, driven by softer inflation in durable goods and even some parts of services, although house rent continued to stay strong. Overall, an encouraging print, but it was just one reading at the end of the day. Growth in the producer price index, the PPI, that is prices received at the producer level, also came in a bit lower. Now, the other side of the US story is about the labor market and household balance sheets. Monthly payroll additions continued to stay buoyant, although mildly lower, MOM growth, that is a month-on-month growth in average hourly earnings, picked up a bit in October. Job openings continues to remain high. Now, if you look at household savings there, about 25% of the excess savings accumulated during the pandemic seem to have been drawn down now to support spending, as disposable incomes adjusted for inflation, that is real disposable incomes, have fallen quite a bit in the last 1 year. But 75% of the excess savings is still there. Now, later in November, the minutes of the FOMC meeting released also had some interesting thoughts on the economic outlook. For instance, there was some color on how US economic output could actually move below potential and stay there till 2025. Signs of some moderation in wage growth, and so on, which one could argue was slightly to the dovish side. The net impact of all this has been that US inflation expectations and expected peak central bank policy rate in the cycle has come off a bit. But these are, again, based on very early signs. The US dollar is also currently off its peak, but this is partly also driven by how relatively hawkish other central banks are now. Now, if we move all the way across the Atlantic, inflation in the euro area moved up further, and so did energy inflation. The European Central Bank, the ECB, hiked its policy rates in end October for the third time, the second 75 basis points hike, and a total of 200 basis points so far. It continued to cite slowing growth, inflationary pressures, which, unlike the US, are also strongly energy price driven, and the possibility that wage growth could pick up, although at the moment it is increasing only gradually. While the ECB said future policy decisions will take into consideration the inflation outlook, measures taken so far, and transmission lag of monetary policy, it also stressed that identifying and reaching the interest rate necessary to deliver the 2% inflation target for the medium term will not be simply through normalizing monetary policy. This suggested it is, in fact, prepared to go beyond normalization if required. Recent commentary from various ECB governing council members has also been about the need to tame inflation through further rate hikes, even if the growth slows down. If we now move to the UK, amidst significant developments in fiscal policy, the Bank of England, the BOE, raised its policy rate by 75 basis points, and expects GDP to decline by 0.75% in the second half of this year itself, that is in 2022. Although it said further rate hikes were necessary to sustainably return inflation to target, majority of the committee felt the peak rate could in fact be lower than that priced in by financial markets. Now, while the rate hikes by the Fed, the ECB and the BOE that we just spoke about were in line with expectations, rate hikes by some central banks, like that of Australia, Canada and Norway, were below expectation, and they in fact acknowledged growth risk there. In South Korea, if you take, the situation is actually quite different there, given the significant share of housing and household wealth, and there has been some funding stress in markets too. But nevertheless, policy focus has now shifted to domestic considerations there, particularly financial stability. So these are examples of, some countries or economies where growth risks are actually coming to the forefront, and central banks are now acknowledging it. Moving to Asia, in China, so two key announcements were made last month, apart from the recent the 25 basis points cut to the reserve requirement ratio of the bank. One, to fine-tune its zero COVID policy, and another to address financing of the property sector, which has actually been very badly hit for a while now. Both measures are welcome, although recovery of the property sector would definitely need time and will also depend on household demand, further policy support, and definitely economic reopening. So the recent spike in COVID cases and China persisting with its zero COVID strategy, uncertainty about economic reopening is again very high. While supply disruptions there could be potentially inflationary, lower demand from China has contributed to lower commodity prices, for instance. Now, coming back home to India, our consumer price index CPI inflation in October was at 6.8%, and in line with our expectation, as momentum in both food prices and core inflation inched up a bit. The trajectory of food prices would really be important for the next few readings. While there has been some crop damage due to excessive rains in October and wheat prices having stayed high, real-time prices in some vegetables and rice is easing, which is encouraging. In the medium term, service price pressure and trajectory of global growth will also be very important. Momentum in India's wholesale price index, that is the WPI inflation, has already been slowing the last 3 to 4 months, in line with softer commodity prices and therefore input costs. Now, apart from the CPI and WPI data, another important data to look at is India's recent trade prints. Exports, particularly non-oil exports, have been falling sequentially in the last few months. Imports have come off too, both due to lower oil imports, which is likely also due to the price of it, but also due to lower imports of goods other than oil and gold. So this kind of shows us how India can actually not escape a global slowdown, although it could be in a relatively better position. Now, we've looked at the important macro data across geographies and some of the events, but what is the story all of this tells us? So we had one print of lower than expected US inflation. This is an encouraging sign of easier price growth in some goods as supply side issues unclog and energy prices cool off. But these are very early signs. Inflation in the euro area, like I said, continues to remain high and directly or indirectly largely energy driven. We have some signs of softer growth, particularly in the manufacturing, but nothing major yet, which is, the slower growth is still ahead of us, rather than concurrent indicators entirely. On labor markets, it continues to remain quite tight in the US, relatively more normal in the EU, but again, no strong or broad signs of softness yet. Household savings in the US, where fiscal stimulus during the pandemic was massive, still has steam left. To be fair, this is only in aggregate for all the households, for the entire economy. So those toward the lower end of the income distribution will obviously have had a larger drawdown. Now, in some countries other than US and Euro areas, central banks have sounded a bit dovish, acknowledging growth risk and hiking lesser than expected, like we discussed. And finally, in China, recent policy measures were welcome, but uncertainty around economic reopening continues. So to put things in perspective, all these inferences we make help us in our endeavor to answer various questions about the global and domestic economy. In the current situation, these are about the likely peak central bank policy rates in the cycle, particularly in the US, how long central banks could maintain rates at its peak, possible rate cuts in the future as things eventually normalize and central banks move closer to their neutral interest rate, and finally, the implications of all this for emerging markets like India through various economic channels. So separately and obviously, our domestic macro, particularly on inflation, its key drivers and forecasts help us evaluate domestic considerations in our policy making. I hope the summary of macro data events and our inferences from a noteworthy November was useful. We have a lineup of central bank meetings with the RBI, the US Fed, ECB and Bank of England all having their monetary policy meetings in the next 2 weeks. Let's see what happens there. But that's it from us for now. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a great holiday season in advance. Stay happy, stay safe, and we'll be back soon with another episode of Let's Talk Macro. Thank you.
Mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme-related documents carefully.